So I saw a joke that I'll try and share. I'm not very good at jokes, so it may not work. I shared it with a few of you before service, and you didn't laugh too hard, but maybe the group will get it. I saw a joke about Mother's Day and Father's Day. So on Mother's Day, the TV commercials will come on, and it's from jewelry stores about a sale going on for $3,000 jewelry for Mother's Day. Father's Day comes around, and the commercials change a little bit. There's a commercial for $12 cargo shorts on sale at Target. What made it funnier was that last night Sarah and I went to Target and I was looking at those $12 cargo shorts. So we do say Happy Father's Day to all of you today. As we think about Psalm chapter 20, I want us to think about the idea of pressure. Is that pressure is plays a lead role in all of our lives, that no matter how we look at it, we all have to deal with pressure. Now, I think we could probably divide the church into two categories today. There are some of us who love pressure, because pressure brings the very best out of us. It's something about the pressure that it creates something and it produces something that we didn't know was inside of us. If you are that kind of person, you are probably a procrastinator. Thank you, Scott. I'm with you. I am with you. We will wait to the very last minute to do something because there's something about the pressure of it that just works. But others of you, when it comes to pressure, you don't deal so well with pressure. You're like an old computer trying to do new and updated things. You're just slow processing. Your mind begins to slow down. Your emotions begin to slow down. And I'm not making fun, but sometimes pressure for people that fall into this category, so much pressure can literally, we shut down, don't we? And we just pull away entirely. You people are not procrastinators. You people are the planners. Who can't stand the procrastinators, and the procrastinators can't stand the planners. But you will prepare in advance because you want to avoid pressure at all costs. You will avoid it like the plague. You will do everything in your power never to be put under pressure. But the problem is, we all at some point in our life deal with pressure, don't we? And it's always the same kind of pressure. It's the pressure to perform. It's the pressure to provide something, to produce something. So some of you, you have pressure in your jobs to solve problems when they happen. So you shouldn't be too bent out of shape when there are problems, because if there weren't problems, your job wouldn't exist. But your job is to solve them. Others of you are on the other end, and I think much harder. Your pressure is to think up of all the problems that might happen and then to try and find ways for them not to happen. This is what parenting is, by the way, isn't it? You think of all the things that could go wrong, and then you put up roadblock on everyone to try and prevent them from happening. That's the kind of pressure that we feel. Some of us feel the pressure to create something. To create something brand new, that's practical, that's engaging, something the world's never seen, and yet you're reminded of Solomon's word, there's nothing new under the sun, and you're like, this job stinks. But you're pressured to always be creating, to always be producing, to be doing something. So we all have this pressure to produce. We all have this pressure to perform something, to provide for people in our life that right now are unable to provide for themselves. All of this pressure builds and builds and builds. And then you come to church. And you're supposed to do all of these things that are on your plate, and you're supposed to do them with a Christ-like attitude and a Christ-like action. Sometimes I think church can almost be the boiling point. You go in all week, people demanding from you, pressure, 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 and then all we hear at church is, we need to do it better, and we need to be more like Christ, and we failed this week, and we leave with more pressure just being added to our plate. Can we just say something that's real? It is hard to be a good person in this world. It is even harder to be a follower of Christ in this world. To do everything that we have to do in the way that God Himself would do it. To do everything that we do in a way that is holy, that is set apart, that's not for the purposes of this world, but are purposes for a world that is yet to come. That's hard. That's hard. That's a lot of pressure that it puts on us. Psalm chapter 20 is a psalm about pressure. And I want to prove it to you. I'm just going to walk through it verse by verse today. I rarely preach this way, but I'm going to today. Read the first part of that, the first half of that sentence. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. Translation, when you are under pressure. See, Psalm chapter 20 is not just a psalm about pressure, but it was a psalm that would have been used or practiced under pressure. So Psalm chapter 20 is a psalm that they would use on the eve of battle. They would all gather together in the sanctuary or in the temple of God, and the congregation would gather together, and the first five verses of Psalm chapter 20 is what the congregation would sing or pray on behalf of the king. Because the king would do what the next day? The king is the one who would lead his troops into battle. So just think about this. You know that there's going to be a battle the next day. You know that there's going to be sacrifices that have to be made. You know there's people that are going to be injured. You know there's people that are going to die. That's a lot of pressure, if you ask me. And here they are, they gather together, and they start explaining what pressure is. And so the first five verses, they are praying this over their leader, over their king. They said, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. Everybody say, answer. You know why that was a prayer? Because when you and I are under pressure, we don't have the answer to solve the problem. If we did, we wouldn't be under pressure. Right? If we knew exactly what to do, we wouldn't be stressed. We wouldn't be worried. We wouldn't be trying to figure out how to do all of this. And here's what they understood, that when the king was in battle, there would be moments where he may not know exactly what to do in that moment. Because when we're under pressure, we don't have all the answers of life. Look at the second part. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Everybody say protect. Protect. See, when we're under pressure, you and I are not in control. If we were in control, we could prevent the pressure from happening. Right? But because we're not in control of the pressure, it means we can't prevent the pressure from happening. It means we can't protect us or the ones we love from it happening to them. That's pressure. Second verse, may He send you help. Everybody say help. From the sanctuary. So because when we're under pressure, one, we don't have the answers. And two, we don't always know what to do, and we can't always solve the problem, and we can't always protect ourselves or prevent it from happening. That means that what we need is help from the outside. That when we're under pressure, very rarely do we have what it is in us to overcome what we're facing. So the prayer is that the king would have help from something outside of himself. When we're under pressure, we need help from someone other than ourselves. I'll just keep preaching. Maybe it'll get us. Second part of that. And grant you support from Zion. Everybody say support. The longer you and I live under pressure, without answers, without the ability to protect or prevent it from happening, without enough help to go through the pressure that we're in, eventually you and I are going to run on E. Because you know what pressure does? It will drain you. Emotionally, spiritually, relationally, it will drain every part of us when we are under pressure. Because when we're under pressure, the harder we try. And the harder we try, the more energy we use. And before long, we do not have enough support. We don't have enough strength. And so the prayer is, when you are in battle, when you are under distress, when you are under pressure, that there would be outside help, outside strength that would come from God. Verse 3, may He remember all your sacrifices. Everybody say, remember. And accept your burnt offerings. Everybody say, accept. So here's the interesting thing. When you're in battle, when the king went to battle, there was only one sanctuary. There was only one temple. This means that the king and his troops could not worship any time they wanted to worship. They could not make sacrifice for their sins even though they had sinned. They could not make offering even though they may have captured a city and had the abundance of which they could have given from. Here's what I'm saying. When we are under pressure, we can't worship properly. We may show up And we may sing praises, but when we are under pressure, we do it out of habit more than it is out of our heart and mind being there. Because when we are under pressure, our minds are captivated by what we have to deal with when we leave church. This is a human thing. So we will still give of our tithes and offerings, except God isn't as interested in our finances as much as He is the heart from which they come from. So if we are under pressure, the plate will be passed, we'll just throw in the check and it'll go on and we'll be thinking what we got to do next. And we won't be able to worship properly. And here's what happens. When we can't worship properly, we forget who our God is. Now, I'm going to break a rule. If I had a preaching professor here, I would be in trouble because, you know, they give you rules. And I don't follow most of them, so I don't know why I should start now. I'm trying to build tension of what pressure feels like. But I can't pass up this opportunity. Can I preach? Just a little bit. Okay. All right. When we're under pressure, we can't properly worship. And when we can't properly worship, we forget who God is. So here's what happens. We're over here, under pressure, and we forget who our God is. But watch what happens. When you remember, when you weren't under pressure, when you remember how to worship properly, you start remembering the times that you went to the house of the Lord, that you made sacrifice or confession for your sins, and He forgave the sin even when we could not forgive ourselves. And we start remembering the time when we would give of ourselves to Him because He had already fully given Him to us. Let me help translate. We will remember the times that we were in a similar situation where there was no way out, but God showed up and made a way when there was no way. And so when we're over here in the pressure, what I'm telling us is we need to remember how to worship because we're remembering, wait a minute, my God delivered me there. And if He delivered me there, He's going to deliver me here. If my God forgave my sin back there, He will forgive my sin right here. If my God made a way where there wasn't any way, I may be facing a wall here, but I just came to tell you that there is still a way because the same God that was there is the same God that's here. And so when we're under pressure, we got to remember how to worship properly. But when we're under pressure, we often forget. We start thinking that maybe God has lost His reputation or He's lost His knack or, you know, that. Here's the thing. When we've overcome something, it looks really big in the windshield and really small in the rearview mirror, right? Because once we've overcome it, we say, well, that wasn't a big deal. Because this is much bigger. Are you serious? And this probably isn't the proper movie to quote from, so I won't tell you what it's from. Only you who are unspiritual as I will know it. Are you serious, Clark? Are you serious right now? If God could handle that, He can handle this. But the pressure begins to mount and we begin to doubt His ability. But when we begin to worship, we take our mind off of what's happening and we remember who our God is. That our God stood before it, He will stand after it. And that means so long as He's standing with us, we will make it through. Amen. But the pressure, don't forget about the pressure. I told you I had to preach just a little bit. Verse number 4, look at the pressure. May He give you the desire of your heart. Everybody say desire. And make all your plans succeed. Everybody say succeed. So it tells me that when we're under pressure, we have desires and we have wants in our life. We have needs in our life that are not being met. So we have desires that we long for, but we cannot fulfill them by ourselves when we're under pressure. When we're under pressure, we have plans, but our plans aren't succeeding. Why is it? Maybe I'll just preach to myself for a little bit. Why is it that the more unsuccessful our plan is, the harder we try to make it successful? Like sometimes I want to go, if it's not working, maybe it's the one who came up with the plan. Maybe I need to try somebody else's plan. Maybe I need to call upon one who's all wise and all powerful and always present. Maybe He has a plan that will succeed. But when we're under pressure, we can't see that, can we? We can only see this isn't working, and so we work even harder to try and make it work. And the harder we work, the more drained we become because we're under pressure. Verse number 5, may He shout for joy over your victory. So may you get victory. Everybody say victory. And lift up your banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant, everybody say grant, all your requests. So when we're under pressure, here it is, we are facing defeat without being able to see the victory. When we're under pressure. And all we want when we're under pressure is for the pressure to go away, for the burden to be lifted, for the problem to be solved, for the storm to be calmed. But it's not getting any calmer, it's getting bigger. The problem's not going away, it's getting bigger. And it's getting harder. And it's getting more impossible. We're facing defeat because when we're under pressure, we can't bring our own victory. We can't save ourselves. That's the whole point of this thing. To recognize what we can't do in of ourselves. And may the Lord grant all your requests. Boy, when we're under pressure, we will pray and pray and pray and pour out our hearts. And it will seem as if nothing is changing. It will seem as if there is no answer. There is no solution. There is no way in all the earth that this thing can possibly turn out good. But remember what prayer is. Prayer is not so much about trying to change the position of heaven as much as it is about changing the position of our own heart to be after heaven. So we're under pressure. Then verse 6. The king would start talking. Remember, first five verses, the congregation was praying this over their leader so that when he went into battle, when he was under pressure, when he didn't have answers, the answers would be given. When he couldn't protect, protection would be given. When he didn't have strength, he'd get strength. All of these things. Now the king speaks. The leader, the military leader, David would be speaking. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to His anointed. Now, David, pause. How do you know the Lord gives victory? Either you're really arrogant or you know something that everybody else doesn't know. I think what he was doing was he was remembering all the times he had been in battle and all the times he didn't have answers and all the times his strength was small and the giant was bigger. All those times. And he says, every time my God delivered. So I know that my God is good on His promises. I know that my God will bring victory. I know you all are doubting. I just want to tell you, I've been through too much. He's brought me too far for this little mountain. That's all it is. It's a little mountain. You think it's a big... It's just a little mountain compared to all that He's done in the past. See, here's what He's doing. He's adding up every victory that He's ever won, and He's looking at one little battle and saying, huh, God's undefeated and all that, and we got one battle? They don't even know. The problem doesn't even know that God's about to destroy it. The enemy doesn't even know that he's already destroyed. Can you see that? That's why you're looking at me like I'm crazy. But have you ever been there? You start adding up all that God has done and you say, I know He's going to bring me victory. That's not arrogance. That's faith. That's trust. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary. Now, this is ironic. Everybody say answers. Did we do that on this one? On victory, did we? Everybody say victory. Everybody say answers. All right, just want to make sure you're with me. See, it's interesting because they're praying in an earthly sanctuary. So you would think that they would want an earthly answer. But where does the answer come from? Heaven. Because when you pray for an earthly answer, you will get what earth can do. But when you pray to heaven, you will get what only heaven can do. So this is his confidence. Verse 7 now. And this is the key verse. All of this hinges on this. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Everybody say chariots. Chariots. Everybody say horses. Horses. But we trust. Everybody say trust. Trust. In the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall. Who? Those who trust in chariots and horses. But those who trust in the name of our Lord our God. What do? We rise up and stand firm. Verse 8, I want to finish this. I'm sorry, that was 7 and 8. Verse 9, Lord, give victory to the king. This would have been congregation, first five verses, 6 through 8 would have been the king's answer. And then verse 9, everybody would have said, Lord, give victory to the king. We were in England and I had a little bit of problem when they kept saying, save the queen. Make sure this podcast doesn't go overseas. I might get in trouble for that. One of our classmates joked and said, you would think she'd be saved by now. That's on him, not on me. But notice the change, verse 9. Answer us. Because it just wasn't the king. It was about all of them together. Because as the leader had victory, they all would have victory. I want to pause right here and say something before I come back to this. Fathers, can I tell you something? You know you're the leader of your household. That's scripturally true. But you know what happens when you're a leader? You have two targets. I hope this doesn't sound too violent. I'm just thinking in the terms of war. There's a target on our head because we're coming towards. We're the first one out in battle, right? But there's always a target on your back. When you're a leader, you're just as susceptible to what's in front of us as we are to what's behind us. I want you to know that as God gives victory to you, I do believe that as you lead, victory comes to everyone who's following. All right. Let me help us a little bit. Dads, I know that you are under a lot of pressure. Now, I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens on this next direction, but that's okay, because I know it's true. And usually the truer something is, the less someone wants to admit it, so I'll just be up here lonely, all right? There's a lot of pressure on all of us, men and women. But here's what I notice. When we get under pressure, we deal with it so much differently, do we not? So the psalm says, some will trust in men, trust in chariots and horses. Some will trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, pressure always reveals who we trust. And most of the time, who we trust is ourselves. That's how we deal with the pressure. Let me help us. So in the short term, men seem to deal better with pressure than women. Because as women, and I'm not pretending to know everything about a woman, I know probably less than I think I know about a woman. But you will respond with what you feel. Because that's how you're hardwired. You can't help that. That's your first reaction. So your first reaction to pressure is to always respond with what you will feel. And so someone who's not a woman, I'm trying not to beat up on fathers, but we may call that an overreaction. But men, in the short term, seem to respond better to pressure because men, here's how we're hardwired, to respond with what we are thinking. Which can be a very terrifying plan. But what we will do under pressure is we begin to rack our brains on the way to solve the problem that we're in to get out of the pressure. But watch what happens. In the long term, women deal with pressure so much better than men. So women, when you have what some may call an overreaction, I'm not telling you that's what it is. You say what you feel. Here's what happens. The pressure builds and you will do something externally in your emotions, right? So what happens to the pressure? You get it out. That's what happens. I know that's what happens. Watch this. Watch this. Don't crucify me. I'm gonna convert you. I'm on dangerous territory, I know. Here's what we as men do. We start thinking about how to get rid of the pressure. And when we're under pressure, what did the psalm say? We very rarely have the answer. We can't do it. So here's what we do. We start walking and thinking about the pressure. A week goes by. We still have no answer for the pressure. 2 weeks go by. A month goes by. We have no answer for the pressure. And then we get over here and somebody forgets their coat and we're going to be 2 minutes later. And then we yell and have an outburst at someone or something. Why? You got rid of the pressure. Women got rid of the pressure way back here. So 2 weeks later, you're like, man, I'm free. And we as men, what happens? The pressure becomes trapped and it builds and it builds and it builds until some way we will find an unhealthy way to release the pressure. I'm not going to get any more amens than that. I know it. Let me give you a few. I already mentioned one, anger. We'll have these outbursts. And here's what pressure always reveals. It reveals who we trust, and who we trust is a revelation of the beast that lives inside of us. Because when we're under pressure and it builds and we explode, everybody who witnesses it gives us the look as if we're a beast and not in a good way. Now, I know you've never been looked at like a beast. You've been the other beast, the one who rises to the occasion. But you have that look. Let me give you another. Lust. It's no secret the struggle that men have with pornography. But it's true of this addiction what is true of every addiction. It's not what the addiction does, it's what it allows. So you know what it allows? An escape from the present reality so that we don't have to deal with the pressure that's going on. So you can insert anything right there, man. It may not be pornography. It might be a hobby. It might be all sorts of things. It might be television. But it allows us to escape from the pressure. Why? Because we as men have less healthy ways to get rid of the pressure that's upon us. And here's what I want you to hear today. I'm not beating you up for that. I'm recognizing there's a lot of pressure on you. And I'm going to say something that's not going to be very popular. But here's what happens for men. You want to understand men a little bit better? Gosh, I'm on thin ice, but here we go. Because there's been such a rise of more and more women speaking out against the hardships that are against them, and hear me this morning, they should. But I want you to know that what the narrative that society says is the hardships that women go through. Now, what I'm about to say does not negate any hardship you've ever been through. Please do not hear that. Hear me, I'm not trying to equate any hardship that men have gone through to it. I'm just telling you that what we as men feel is that when we're going through a hardship, we feel suppressed that we can't confess it because it isn't equal to what you've ever been through. So we are less likely to confess our hardship to our marriage partner as men. We are less likely to share it with our wife at times because we feel like if we do, what we're saying is that my hardship is worse than yours. I knew it would be quiet. I'm just telling you, we feel this. So men, hear me today. There's a lot of pressure on you. And sometimes you don't feel like you can safely confess that there's a lot of pressure on you. Because why? Because we love our families. We want to care for them. And any pressure they're dealing with, we want to help them through. And we feel like if we start showing them the pressure that's upon us, they may doubt us or they may think that we can't help them or that we won't be able to help them. And so we feel all this pressure building and we find all the wrong outlets. Because we will trust in chariots and horses. We will find our own way to deal with it. This is substance abuse. And by the way, substance abuse can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it can also be food, and men, I'm going to hit on one you don't like, it can be money. Always wanting a bigger toy. Because what does it allow? A release from that pressure, and the more that we do it, the more that it requires to get rid of the pressure that's in our life. Why did I bring us to this place? I want to hear. Here's what I want you to know. Dad, you're under pressure. Because it's hard to be a man in this world and it's hard to be a godly man in this world. Women, let me help you out. Because it's hard for men to be godly and to be the men they're called to be in this world, it's hard to live with us. Wow, I thought I'd get some amens. It's hard to live with us. There's hardships on you. There's pressures on you. We feel them differently, but it's all pressure. And we will all deal with it our own way. But there's only one way to do it. Do you see it? To trust in the name of the Lord our God. To recognize it's okay not to have all the answers. It doesn't make you a less of a person. And I'm hitting more on men today, so women, forgive me. You're not less of a man because you can't solve it. You're not less of a man because you get tired and you get wore down and you feel weak. You're not less of a man. You're just a human. You're not less of a man because you can't protect something from happening to your family that you want everything inside of you to take. You're not less of a man. You're not less of a man because you ever stumble or fall or you make a mistake or you have an angry outburst or you struggle with this or you struggle with that. No, you join the club with me, will you? Because I want you to know something. We all come to this place, but here's what I want every person to know. You can trust in who God is. You can trust Him. We can trust in the name of the Lord our God. And here's how trust works. I was trying to figure this out, and last night I was feeding Emerson a bottle. And I always think of the verse, a child shall lead them. And after she was done, she was so tired, and you know how little kids get, they fight and they wrestle. My favorite moment. And this is like the one thing I have over Sarah. I can put her to sleep so much easier. Sarah gets all the other, glamorous moments with her. I have like this one thing. and has been able to put her to sleep. But you fight with her, and all of a sudden, she'll lay that head down and fully surrender herself to the arms of her father who loves her. You know what she's saying? I don't have to worry about anything that might happen while I'm resting. Because I know in order for anything to get to me, it first has to go through the love of my Father. That if anybody breaks into my house while I'm asleep, they first have to go through my dad. And I can assure you they'll be walking over my dead body before they could ever get to them. You know what it is to put our trust in who God is? It's to come fully into His everlasting arms. It's to lay our heads on His shoulder. To say, God, I don't have all the answers. I don't have the strength. I don't have the protection. I don't have it all. I can't do this. But what I'm telling you is what I can't do. I fully trust You. Because here's what I know. Anything that can get to me first has to go through You. Can I preach? I'm not preaching yet. I'm just warming up to it. Here we go. So I want you to know, if you're in a problem right now, it meant that the problem first went through the love of the Father, and the love of the Father had an answer for the problem before the problem ever came up. You're in a storm right now. God knew that storm would come. I don't know why He allowed this. You're asking the wrong person for that. Here's what I know. If He's allowed it, He also knows when the storm will be over. He knows what you will need to get through the storm until it will be over. You're in a mess right now. That meant it went through the love of the Father. And that means that only the love of the Father knows the miracle that He will bring out of that mess. The miracle you would never have if you didn't first go through the mess. I'm telling you, you can trust Him. You can trust Him.